and Mike, feet for a ride. The people want to know, was the mic still on? I'm saying.
Thank you for listening to a new episode of the Is the Mic Still On podcast. My name is Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the show, we got Modest Media.
Yo, what's up, man?
Naturally Nay.
Hello.
Sitting in for Sophie. BZ430.
What up, though?
Mike C-Town.
Yo.
And by popular demand, sitting in for FIFO. He's back, y'all. Q, the six man. What's up, bro?
Yo, what's good? What's good?
Q coming, nigga.
You guys can also check Q out on Dead End Hip Hop. We had a very spirited debate, somewhat of a continuation from the conversation that originally started here about Jay-Z and I guess his role in hip hop and elsewhere. Also, we talked about Kanye and the Jay-Z dispute, as also he was on that too. So I checked that out, Dead End Hip Hop, youtube.com/Dead End Hip Hop. If you like what you hear, and even if you don't like what you hear, please share the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the show, you can do so at Patreon. It can be found at patreon.com/isthemicstillon, or you can click the link in the description. Shout out to all the new patrons, man. We finally crossed 200.
Oh, word.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. So. Yeah, I appreciate all the support. And Rod and I were talking last week briefly about some improved production methods that we want to do, and some equipment that you guys are gonna help us get to make the show better, as we always try to do. So we cannot do that without you guys. So we appreciate you guys' generous support. For those of you that are new to the show, Is the Mic Still On is composed of five parts. We do fun fact. Well, you know, I still haven't decided on that. Anybody got one?
I normally always have fun facts. This is like,
you said you were like the reservoir of fun facts.
I haven't been in that. Y'all know personally, I just haven't been in that space lately. So
don't you have an app for that?
I do. Yeah, I have an app for it.
Well, it's going to be either fun facts or today I learned, and facts only, which we have quite a few. We do our topics, comment commentary, and we close out with our pass the mic segment. Anyway, let's get into the facts only, because we actually got a lot. That black dude wrote, facts only, El Dorado fire. It only really affected Yucaipa? Is Yucaipa, which is in San Bernardino County, not LA or San Diego counties. It's not the cause of all of the fires in SoCal. This one is only comparatively small. Little detail, but it's really funny to hear people talk about California, don't know shit about it best. What? Well, damn, man. You have to, damn, Sandra's at the end.
It's very aggressive.
So why do people have to act like that? Like,
damn, we appreciate the facts only, but God.
You dumb motherfuckers.
Damn.
That black dude, our fault.
Shit, my bad.
Shit.
He's been pretty vocal. Well, whoever that person is, been pretty vocal lately, right?
I mean, he needs to chill out.
I hear his name. I hear the name a lot. That black dude.
Here it is.
Well, that black dude need to smoke a joint or something. Like, damn, bro, we sorry.
Yeah, my bad. The other facts only is from Dallas Rose 222. So, fun clarification. Not only is iHeartRadio owned by white people, it's owned by Bain Capital, i.e. the capital firm Mitt Romney was a part of.
Huh, hilarious.
Yeah.
Fake news, people!
People's 24/7 is topic and tells a Floridian man by the name of Milo Johansson, a homophobic male who shot his urologist twice in the chest after Milo experienced an orgasm during his prostate exam. The original website that makes this claim is Bach Daily. This website, like The Onion, is satirical without divulging that it is a satirical site. The journalist Amelia Mills has written recently the following news, and he added some articles. So, yeah, this story has not been mentioned nor verified by any local news site or source. Unfortunately, it's safe to say that fake news FIFO has struck again.
Mm-mm-mm. Damn, bro.
I appreciate him keeping us abreast on Florida male orgasms.
Yeah. That's important stuff.
great.
Yeah.
Man. I will admit that, you know, I'm going to share this one with Vivo. Because I thought it was real, too.
I looked it up while he was talking. Real.
So, hey.
And I just saw a whole bunch of links, so it didn't... I didn't think twice to check to make sure it was actually real.
See, now, if I was bringing it to the table, I would have verified to make sure it was real. But I didn't do that. People did. But I'm still going to share, because I was feeding off the energy, you know.
Yeah. And I'll pull you in like that sometimes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it does. You know, it happens like that every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, because that started the prostate story or whatever, didn't it? Yeah.
That was a good moment that came out of it. Yeah, it was. Good mic story.
Oh, yeah. It was a good moment, all right.
Anyway, so yeah, those are our facts only. So let's jump into these topics. Naomi?
Yeah, okay. So it's not like a pop culture topic at all. It's really actually rather personal. So
whatever.
Yeah, so I had a big week. It's my 40th birthday. Yay.
Yay. 40 and fabulous.
40 and fabulous. And it got me thinking, I know for guys it's a little different, but 40 is a big one for me, right? It's like that age where I was like, oh, everything should be together. Oh, you're grown. So is there an age for you guys that you either reached or are anticipating reaching that you're like, okay, this is it. This is the year where everything's on click.
What do you mean by on click, though?
Like, you have your aha moment, like everything in the world makes sense to you, or just a year where you feel like, okay, I've reached a milestone.
I don't think men have that.
No?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you're talking about like anticipating that, or it when it came, it was like, aha. Like,
if it hasn't reached for you yet, yes. If it came, it was like, aha, or you think it's going
to
happen.
Aren't we too stupid to have aha moments? Because we have aha moments all the time, but we're always wrong.
Right. Y'all don't have that year where it's like, is a man, it clicked?
Like a milestone type of thing?
I remember we used to have this conversation at work a lot where you were like, at 25, something changes for men.
I know we used to tell FIFO, like, you know, things change when you hit, what, 30, we said, we told
him. Yeah, you're back.
Oh, 25.
And then going into your 30s or whatever. Like, yeah, that's a thing. And that just came with experience. It's not something that I, you know, was looking forward to or just knew or somebody gave me that game. Mm-hmm. It was just something that just kind of happened and I noticed. And then I talked to other people like Ken. And he experienced some of the same things. I was like, oh, man, I guess that is like a transitional period for a guy.
Year?
Like 25 and up, like once you hit that 25, it seemed like something changes or whatever. I don't know if you experienced it, but I know other people that I've talked to.
So apparently the part of the reason why that happens is scientifically, there's something that happens to, like, when we're growing up, there's this chemical that's going on that causes men to be rebellious. When you hit like 23, 24, 25, well, pretty much it runs out. Yeah. So it basically goes away. And that's when you kind of settle in and move forward with life.
I will say,
a doctor told me that. It blew my mind.
I don't know if it was a chemical thing for me, but I will say the more responsibility I got, like, I used to be fearless as a kid, as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't tell me shit. Like, I just thought I was fearless. Yeah. But, you know, once you start getting responsibility, stuff start, you know, mattering more than just yourself. It's like, oh, well, dang, I gotta be careful on how I do this, on how, you know, on how I move. Or it could be something as simple as going up for a dunk because I might come down and break my ankle or something. Like, but I don't think about that when I'm a kid. Like, I'm beasting on the court. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, I will say as I get older, stuff like that changes, you know, as far as just being
responsible. I start stretching before I play basketball. You know what I'm saying? Before, I didn't used to stretch. I just go out there and be like, who got next? Or whatever. Yeah. But now I'd be like, I'm going to about 5 minutes real quick. And, you know, then I'll be ready. You know what I'm saying? So,
but just little stuff like that. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I'm always trying to progress. Like, I've always been like that, I guess. Like, even at a younger age, just I always want to be better. I always want to strive to do. Look at Mark. I always want to strive to do more. Like I said, just coming from where I come from, like, I don't have nowhere else to go but up. You know what I mean? Like,
damn.
I don't know.
Keep going.
So, like, yeah, man, I always aspire. Yeah, I always aspire to be great in all ways. And, you know,
so it don't matter the year.
It don't matter the year.
Every year
is good for Rod.
You know that about me as my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always, you know, I'm always trying to improve myself. You know what I mean? So,
is that like a girl thing where it's like, okay, 30, I have to have X, Y, Z, and 40?
Because I know women that sound just that speak that. What? Go ahead.
No, I'm saying because y'all have like a biological clock that's ticking, quote unquote, right?
Yeah. So
y'all,
we don't have that.
So, you know,
I'm saying I think that's just most. It's a woman thing.
I think there is a moment where men feel like there's the youth is gone. Like when I hit 30, I was just like, okay, yeah,
it's a wrap.
My youth is dead.
And that's like, kind of what me.
Shit,
did,
mine was Friday night. When I tried to get up, and I'm like, God damn, what's the hell going on?
You breaking the rules. You know, when you get to our age, you have to think about getting up before you actually get up.
I'm telling you.
I'm tired of thinking. But you, shit. I had to do a lot of thinking. I feel you.
Like, when I turned 30, I really felt like everything was done. I spent my 30th birthday on my girlfriend at the time's couch drunk, because I was like, I don't want to go out. Like, everything is done. Because I'm like, when I was younger and, you know, when I was in like the punk scene and all that, like all of that is so youth centric. Like everything is based on youth. You're called a punk kid. You're called a hardcore kid. You're not called a punk man or punk guy. You know what I'm saying? So when I hit 30 and it was like, there's no more 20 in my years, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, if you're getting called a punk man, that means something different.
You gotta fight then.
Right. You're like, what you just call me?
Wait, a punk? What? But yeah, now I feel like, you know, when I was younger and I was like, you know, 17, 18, and there was the dude at the shows that would be like 30. Mm. Like, look at this fucking old ass motherfucker. Mm. Whose dad's at the show? Ha ha. And now I'm that guy, where I'm in the back, and I'm like leaning up against something because my back hurts. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, 30 was that year for me where I was just like, "Fuck, this sucks." But when I hit 40, I was like, "Oh yeah, I may as well just be dead."
Really?
40 is rough.
40 is really
rough.
Don't
tell me it's for men. It's not rough for me.
Shit, I don't even know how old I am. 43, 44.
That's it.
Uh huh. Hey, look, and I think that kind of go to piggyback on what Rod was saying. Like, I've always been ambitious. So there's a certain, my ambition is
limited.
Eradicating the years, because I'm trying to achieve this certain goal and I'm constantly striving to get through it, and it consumes all of your day and you don't really get a chance to sit back and enjoy life. And you don't really sit back and be like, damn, like I am 40 something, because you haven't accomplished what you're setting out to accomplish. You know, and I wish I could sit back and be like, you know what? This ain't half bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just look at the kids play, and I do that. It's rare, but look at the kids play, and you know, just enjoy life and drink a beer and just hang out with family. Mm-hmm. I don't get caught up in the family and stuff like that because I'm consumed on this goal.
It's funny you say that, because Nay and I just had this conversation about like how having our new son is different from the first ones, because it's like we're sitting back actually enjoying him. Whereas, like, when I had my daughter, I was coming out of college or finishing up school, and I had so many other things that I had to focus on. Not saying I wasn't taking care of my daughter, because I was, but I didn't get a chance to really enjoy her because I was on the come up trying to do stuff and all that. But now, you know, I'm kind of seasoned a little bit, and, you know, I got a good groove, and now I can just sit up and watch him and have time to just play with him, sit down and do other things. So yeah, we just had that conversation about, you know, settling down and just enjoying your life and what you actually do have.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Kendall was on the front end of everything that we're doing here. Mm. So like,
he sure was.
Like everything was just in that. And, you know, Miles, you know, came along 5 years later where things was a little bit more settled in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now I would imagine and hope that if I do have the third, that I would just sit back and enjoy it. And I did enjoy the time with Miles a lot. And I did enjoy the time with Kendall a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, when you look back on it, it's like, man, that was a blur. My hourglass is about to turn the other side, you know, especially when I get 50. And that's something that I reconcile with at times.
50's coming too, huh?
I hope.
I'm not going to. I can't be up here reviewing albums with y'all at 50, bro.
Nah, it has to be a different change.
That's sad, Mike.
No, it's good. Like, who the fuck is going to listen to a 50-year-old man?
There are cultural critics. Not about 6ix9ine, but there are cultural critics that are seasoned that 50? Review music. That review music.
Don't limit yourself.
Isn't Ebro old?
And who listens to Ebro at this point?
Well, how old is hip hop? You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. They call us old now.
Do they still?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't be in the comments.
Yeah, they call us old.
They call us old now.
They've been calling us old for some years.
Not even
right.
Just
they've
now.
Been calling us old
at one point, but I thought that narrative shift at one point. I thought we was because I've seen the opposite of that, right? I've seen like, why would I want to get my information from somebody that's the same age as me? You know just as much as me. I've seen that.
I've never seen that.
I've seen that comment. Yeah, I've seen that comment. They rather get it from someone that's you know, a bit more seasoned and knowledgeable or whatever in the culture or been around since the inception of it.
And I believe that.
We have not been around
not
since the fucking inception.
Y'all heard that slick shit? Fuck you, Rod. Y'all heard that slick shit?
I did.
Then Rod tried to change the subject real quick. Like, I didn't hear you. Since the inception.
I think that younger folks, whether they will admit it or not, they wish to identify with people who are older who share their experiences with them.
For sure.
I don't think that it's expressed in the way that it is, that it should be, but I don't mean to use this as a derogatory, but like elders are needed. You know what I'm saying? Elder statesmen are needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a saying that young is meant for war, elders meant for counsel.
Right. Give you game. Know? Like it's always been a thing.
It's always gotta be like that. So I mean, Mike might share, and that's his own prerogative, but in terms of like just criticism and like just content, I don't ever be like, I need this stuff to be under 25 years old to relate to me, because most of the people I read are dead, so they don't really got nothing to really.
But there's been a transition. Like, it's not solely just hip-hop anymore. I think we do, you know, TV shows and music and stuff like that, so.
That's why I said reviewing albums.
Yeah.
The rest of the shit we can still do. Podcasts we can still do. Reviewing albums. I mean, how often do we say, like, oh, yeah, this shit just wasn't made for me, I can't connect, I don't get it.
Yep.
We say that shit all the time. Don't a single person in this room that's over the age of 20 listen to Lil Yachty.
I need to do a better job of listening to you, because you're 100% right. Like, I get that part. Like, albums. Like, I can see us being slowly getting out of touch with what's coming out or whatever, unless the people that we like continue making music.
I mean, if you really want me to be flat out honest, I mean, I'm getting tired of reviewing albums now.
Really?
Super tired.
Yeah.
Because now it's getting to a point where the majority of the music that's really popular that's coming out now, I don't care for it because I don't get it. It means nothing to me. It doesn't speak to me or anyone around me. And I'm tired of getting on a platform and being like, oh, I mean, if you younger people get it, cool, but I don't. It's like, then why are you fucking speaking, asshole? Why are you talking then? So, you know what, guy? You're right. Why am I talking?
So you don't think, like, for the people, like, the older artists that still are creating music need people like us?
Yeah, we can talk about them. Yeah. You know, maybe, or even the people that just speak to older issues.
Right.
You know, if Kendrick wants to drop an album, cool. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If Travis Scott wants to talk an album, I don't have anything to, like, what am I going to say?
Right.
I don't even know half the fucking lingo. Like, half the shit you're saying, I still don't know what cap means. Like, there's nothing for me to really dig into with this kind of shit. So, I would, if I was younger, like when I was in my teens and really actually like heavily reading like music magazines and shit, if I read that the person reviewing the album was 30, I'd be like, flip, next page.
Could it be that perhaps, this might be enlightening a new possibility of a different phase for not just your lives, but like the actual like team, or is like maybe there needs to be like a younger division of people who tackle that content, and then you know, and it leaves, you know what I'm saying, like y'all to discuss the things that are more resonating with your lived experiences.
I mean, I brought that up when we were working on the mixtape it was, but we were at B's house, B's old crib. And the one we had the pool table and shit like that. I remember having that when we were listening to music. Yeah. And I remember having that discussion then. Like, there has to be like a transition, so to speak, a B team, somebody that can relate. Like, you can easily just sit down and just look and plot out like the next couple of years and be like, man, at some point we're gonna be irrelevant in terms of what's being created. We're gonna age, and we're gonna age out of it. Mm-hmm. And what's gonna be next? So part of everything that's been happening in terms of the expansion has been, you know, intentional, because you can see it if you just sit and really just think about it. Like, okay, there's gonna have to be, you know, a part two, you know, and what does that look like? So
when are you guys ready for part two?
I'm waiting on y'all, man. Say the word.
You waiting on me?
He said, I'm waiting on y'all, man.
Shit, I've been ready for that second trilogy for a minute.
I've had a conversation with, you know, Rod and I offline at times have discussed, like, you know, what we're talking about now in terms of reviewing music here and there. But, you know, it's kind of been our foundation, our base. But, you know, it's a conversation worth having, I think. Mm-hmm. No time is better than the present.
What's crazy is that, well, fun fact, that we didn't even start off doing reviews.
No.
I know.
We did conversations, which is typically what our reviews are, but, you know, we call them reviews. But, I don't see a problem like transitioning slowly back to that. You know what I'm saying? Just having conversations.
What?
Why you do
what?
That?
I'm giving you the fourth grade teacher stance right now.
What happened?
Because I've been saying this for like the last 3 years.
Well, I wasn't saying it last 3 years.
I've been saying this for the last 3 years that we should transition back into doing conversations.
No, for sure.
And I think the only one that agreed with it was B.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like, no, we like doing album reviews. But I'm like, wouldn't a culture critique be a much better position for an old ass black man?
Versus
like, oh, this album came out and I don't get it. Like, who cares if you don't get it, asshole? Like, I get it, so why the fuck are you talking about it?
Because we're seeing right now with like Budden on, you know, Spotify and whatnot, what he does with his platform is where it's like he recognizes that I'm 40 years old now. I can't just be the guy talking about, you know what I'm saying, 6ix9ine and 5-year-old Foreign and Pop Smoke every day. Like, no one cares about that. I'm here to talk about like ownership and what the younger artists are going to need. So it's like thinking about, I would love for y'all to get on y'all like Charles Bukowski shit and just like,
I'd love that too.
And just, you know, just like go in and just like talk about the things that are resonating to men of your age. And I would like to see that cross like generation in interaction where it's like, the elders do need to interact with the young, like the people who have made it to a certain age need to interact with the folks who don't have that guidance, because how do we pass down these lessons if we aren't like intermingling with each other? It can't be sectioned off anymore. And I think that that's what y'all's platform can certainly and has been doing for years now.
Like, I think like we are more, we can speak better to issues like the ones we discussed with Kanye and Jay.
Right.
Whereas I don't think that someone that's in their teens or even early 20s would really even understand the nuance of those situations to speak on them in a way that would even be beneficial to anybody.
Right, unless you're Q.
That's true. Oh, but you're like an old soul.
Special,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You like got progeria or something. Like you're like really like 42 years old. But yeah, I mean, like most people that are Q's age would not even care to have a 2-hour long discussion about contracts. They would be more primed to talk about, okay, what's the music sound like? Yeah. Oh, he's using this beat and this is hot. This is lit. No cap. You know what I'm saying?
you just go through all of them.
I'll go all of them, bro. That's all the ones I know. But we would be more set up to speak about things that affect like the overall landscape of hip hop.
And I don't want to neglect the question because it's like, I can't speak on, you know, reaching, I'm 23 years old. But what I can say is that I understand that in every point in time, there is missions and objectives for everybody. Everybody has those in their mind of, I have to hit these markers, I have to hit these objectives. But I think that we do ourselves a disservice when we think ourselves into a box with age. Not in a I'm not saying you should be out here wearing skinny jeans and not like in that way. But
it's like, Lil Wayne skinnies
and, you know, wearing like, you know what I'm saying, 6ix9ine hoodies and whatnot. I'm talking about those people like the Scottie Pippins of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've talked about it before, but you know what I'm saying? People who are running from their age is what I'm saying. I think that people who are embracing who they are, people who just happen to be a certain age, I think that we need to begin to develop more of an understanding that as long as you breathe and you have time to do what you want to do. And what that means is something way deeper than like just an internal clock of, okay, well, if I don't hit this, then I fail. What is failed? Mm-hmm. What is really failed if you are still here doing it?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I think mm-hmm. that we just kind of think ourselves into this box by saying that if we have not hit these things, mm-hmm. then the past couple years were a waste. Or was it the springboard for something that's about to happen? Or was it a redirection for something that maybe you didn't even know was your purpose? And I think that in life, we as human beings really do go through this transformation period, like you're talking about, where our interests no longer align with people that we thought aligned with.
Straight up.
It has our actual motivations for why we get up in the morning change. Mm-hmm. Our risk aversion goes down. And it's like that ties to who we are responsible for, mm-hmm. who's responsible to us, who we have to put food in people's mouths, who puts food in our mouths, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that it all comes down to a fact of everyone is running a race, and mm-hmm. we all have to be cognizant that we're not competing against each other.
Yeah, and man, it's interesting you said that about risk, right? And being risk averse, having a family, a wife, and two boys, being within Kaiser system. I'm going through that now because this is my first public disclosure. That, you know, I've been a victim of COVID-19, and October 31st, I will be losing my job. Mm. So, you know, and I didn't look at that as a negative because I've been prepared for it. I've talked about it on this show a couple of times and, you know, among you guys that, it was a possibility, a high possibility, mm-hmm. and it was therefore almost fucking inevitable, right? So how do you prepare for that? Mentally, I prepare, right? You know, by accepting the fact that it could happen. But the fear of that happening is losing that, like, that Kaiser insurance and see how much it costs, on your own and take them out of the system that they knew and into something that they didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I also have to look at this as an opportunity. I'm gonna get you a stand, bro. I'm gonna get you a stand.
I'm just gonna be there.
But as an opportunity, because, you know, throughout the last couple of years, it's been like, okay, I, you know, the safety net mm-hmm. of having this job to take care of my family, has been meaningful and extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. But at some point, like, there has to be a dedication to this in order for it to kind of go where it could possibly go. So I'm looking at this as, you know, this is like the universe, not to get meta on people, is saying, okay, we're just going to remove that from you mm-hmm. and just make you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and, you know, may the chips fall where they may, because you're not going to do it on your own. And so we're going to have to just kind of,
force you to step out on that faith and do what you gotta
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like when, you know, I think about, Kendall and when he walks and you just kinda, he walks on this yeah. thing and you just kinda take it away mm-hmm. and let him kinda walk on his own, and then eventually he no longer just stumbling to the couch, he's walking to the couch. Mm. So, and that's kinda how I'm looking for it. So that's gonna be like the next steps.
It's survival. Yeah. You have survival instincts. That's just, you know, it's in you mm-hmm. to, you know,
yep.
survive.
Yep. And it's, you know, and, you know, much like you, in terms of parenting, you know, I told my kids, you know, about everything that's happened, and you know, we've been preparing for this for months. So, you know, preparation is the key to success, and mm-hmm. you know, you have to be mentally prepared for what lies ahead. So, you know, this is where we at. So, when you mentioned risk averse, mm-hmm. it triggered that thought that, man, like, even now, sometimes I'm like, damn, man. Like, what happens if this? Because we're in the middle of COVID, mm-hmm. you know, but mm-hmm. but we're survivors, too. And I've survived worse, and I've been in worse situations. So I've been in a better situation now than I was back then. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that I didn't know that you could be young and old at the same time. And what I mean by that mm-hmm. is that until I got with my family, my wife, and seeing her family mm-hmm. being in their 50s and 60s, and the way they just live life like they're in their 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. it was mind-blowing to me, because I thought that when you get old, you just have to get old and sit in the chair. Mm-mm. And it's not the case.
But that's what you grew up seeing, like, in certain areas.
Yes, yes.
That, that's, had nothing else to do. It's Mississippi.
Well, nothing else to do. And then, of course, your economic situation. Like you said, in Mississippi, you know, you just sit on the porch and watch the cars go by.
See, I did that at 20. I did that at, you know, at my teens sometimes, just sitting on the porch.
Yep.
I mean, what, human beings now have the capacity to be, what, healthier individuals now because of, what, technology and medicine and science. So it's like, but you look at 25-year-olds back in 1955, and they look like 50-year-olds. And we're not, and that can't be discounted from, like, economic stress, like racial stress. All that stuff is on you. Now you see kids who are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they say they're 25, they're like, they're 10. Then you see kids who look like, say they're 18 and they look 30. And it's like, what is going on out here? And I think that it clarifies, man, is like, there is no timeline on success and the perception of success, man. Yeah. You got to realize that sometimes when you ask for something, you are going to get it exactly what you want. And that means, like, you're going to experience losses because you asked for success. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, you think that you just lost so much. And, oh, man, I just took this big L. But perhaps it was not a loss in the sense of a finality, but it was a launching point of a subtraction, something that was subtracted from your life so you could have an addition somewhere.
I thought it was interesting because I've edited Low Mid, and I remember Huey said this on one of the episodes, and I don't know if they were talking about music or something, but it was just so funny to hear him say that, man, I just think I'm getting old now. And I just don't think about that. Yeah.
Something literally just said it because her birthday just passed.
I'm getting old as hell, man.
And how old are you, Huey?
22, 23 in November. Bro, we old, bro. We old. We are old.
Then we're dead.
Right.
Right. I don't even remember 22. Right.
Bro.
I don't, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even remember 20. I mean, I know I was in the band and we were, like, on the road and stuff, but I barely remember that shit at all.
Let me pose a question to all y'all then. At 40 or approaching 40. Which matters more to you, or is there a difference? Clarity or comfort?
Comfort. Because I'm old and I need to be comfortable.
Yeah, comfort.
If I don't have comfort,
if I'm not clear on what's going on.
Wait, what kind of comfort are we talking about? Because I need comfortable shoes. I need a comfortable bed. I need a comfortable couch.
To me, I would define clarity as, like, you know exactly what this chapter in your life is supposed to yield for you. Versus a comfort, which is like, I've worked myself into a position where now all I can do is.
I would rather have comfort simply because if I was worried that hard about clarity, I would drive myself fucking nuts.
I agree.
Because I will never have the, like, my life is so fucked up and weird and all over the place, even outside of this.
Right.
If I really sat down and I was just like, I need clarity on every bit of this, I wouldn't be here right now with you guys. No, I'd still be at home trying to figure this bullshit out.
I feel that.
That's so weird. So too. I'm the polar opposite. And that's what kind of posed the question. Because for my 40th birthday, I had to get away from everything. It's too much confusion going on in the house. I got a hotel room and I went by myself and I meditated. And I had to get clarity on where I was at this phase in my life and be clear on where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to sleep comfortably. I'm not going to live comfortably. I'm going to be stressed 24/7 if I'm not at least clear on what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So clarity is absolutely everything to me right now. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be clear on why stuff is happening. I have no control over what's going on around me. As long as I'm clear on this, I'm good with everything. I'm comfortable.
I'm not clear on this.
Get clear.
I get up and my back hurts. My knees pop every time I stand up. I don't even try to figure this out. Mm-hmm. My body is falling apart.
Stretch it.
I try.
Do some yoga.
I do yoga.
Keep doing it. Drink more water.
Man, I'm working on it. But it's just, I used to want clarity because I used to be, I mean, I'm still a fairly an overthinker, but I used to overanalyze everything when I was younger. And, you know, I've talked a bunch about, like, that's why a lot of the shit that's happening now with, like, Trump and all this shit, it still makes me mad, but it doesn't surprise me. Because I feel like I've spent from the age of, like, 14 until mid-30s screaming at the top of my lungs, we're going to have a fascist in the office at some point. And everyone was like, shut up, you sound stupid. Leave, like, go away. But I was then trying to figure out clarity. I was like, why is this happening? Why are the police killing people? Why are these things happening? Now when I'm older, I'm just like,
it's just happening and it sucks.
But that's a form of clarity, right?
No. It's a form of giving up.
Yes.
I've given up on trying to make logical sense of a lot of the shit that happens. And it's made me a lot happier. Because when I was trying, I mean, y'all remember every shoot. I mean, I'm still a dick, but every shoot before, I was screaming and yelling and sweating. Yeah. Every shoot.
Great content.
No, terrible. It's great for y'all, but it's not good for me. No,
the chest was probably pounding. You know what I'm saying?
But now I've just gotten to a point where I'm just like, I don't care.
That's just the elders thing that he's talking about.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that's interesting what he just said, because you didn't you just tweet something similar to that about Breonna Taylor?
Yeah, I did. I said that while I'm not surprised, I'm at a place where I'm very unaffected.
Mm. Yep.
And that's scary. That's a very scary place for me to personally to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like to be in a situation where a black woman got shot and killed in the manner in which she did, and the men who did it got off in this system. Like, I should be outraged the same way we were outraged with George Floyd and all that stuff, but I just don't have the energy for it. And I think it's because of everything that's been going on personally in our own circle. I just don't have the energy to expel to the community because I'm too busy with it in my house right now. So, yeah, I think, but it's just, I think some of that, as you guys were talking about where you are with age and thinking about the future and what's going on, you guys were very like career centric and very like physical, like what you're feeling physically, whereas me, it's more spiritual. And I think some of that may just be the male woman dynamic. I think because of the position that you guys are in the world as men, that's where you think, whereas me, it's more about where am I spiritually and where is my heart and how am I feeling and am I good, am I nurturing, can I give to my children, that kind of thing. So I just think for me, it's just more about being good, because I got a little one now. So I got to make sure I have it. I can't wake up in the morning creaking and stuff, because I got to get up and run after a baby. So I got to make sure that I'm good spiritually and physically so that I can give to those that are around.
I get that.
Ramil had something real quick. What you had, man?
I wanted to speak to your point, Naomi, on you saying that I think what you articulated about your feelings towards Breonna Taylor was what Killer Mike was alluding to, because I just listened to it this morning on the song Walking in the Snow on RTJ4, where he says it's gone from having empathy to apathy. And I think what you articulated was some sort of compassion fatigue, where it's just you kind of just get numb to things that adversely affect people because you're seeing it at such a high frequency and you're getting exposed to it. So like you said, like you should feel, you said you didn't feel like a certain level of outrage that you felt like you should have been feeling, and that was scary. And so I think that's like, I mean, they made me think of Killer Mike's point. I just listened to it this morning, so that's all I wanted to bring that point up.
Yeah,
appreciate you, bro.
No, and that's wow. No, like that's an incredible point, because I often think about how black people, as black women, black men, I see that so often we are killed as children, but we're not buried until we're adults. In the way in which the world kills us in so many ways that it just instills a numbness in you once you reach a certain age of, man, I already know they doing that. I already know that's how it goes. I know this is just how it is, because the everyday interests and the everyday like doings that we have to go through, feed this, make sure that blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? As a parent, as a partner, whatever. It takes away from your ability to actually be in your body. You know what I'm saying? Really, I say it all the time, but think about how little we actually occupy our bodies and how often are our bodies in service of other people? How often are our bodies in service of just trying to feed ourselves? How often are our bodies being held captive by others? In, you know, we could say softer ways or even the most visceral ways. And that goes from being clocking in. That goes from not being able to put in the emotional work to develop yourself. That goes into so many other things psychologically that we can't really even discuss. I'm not qualified, but I know that for a fact, the shock of the world, it leaves you, because it kind of just beats it into you that this is your position. And that's why I resonate with wanting clarity, because it can't be that. This can't be that position. I need to be able to world make within my own world. I need to be able to world make for my child. I need to be able to make a world for my household.
because this outside world is not calm at all. This outside world is harsh, it's hostile, because we're marked people. And then we step into our little worlds, and it's like, how often do we even occupy that within ourselves?
I'm a clarity person too. I don't really want to be comfortable, because I can become relaxed, and I'll rather be clear and to be clear on my focus, be clear on my goal, and be clear on my ambitions, and be comfortable after those things are achieved. Or my comfortness actually may come from being, you know, by having that clarity. You know, they could work together. But yeah, I think I would like clarity, which is why I'm always striving to learn and educate myself and understand the world, a world that you can't understand. And that was a good point you make, you, about us being killed as adults. And they start when we're kids, and it starts within the system, in the educational system. That's why I believe in investing in the youth and protecting the kids. You know, when you look at these institutions and how they pull money out, and you know, it's what they say, fair but equal, and that doesn't exist. And their lack of making sure that the books are the updated copies, or, you know, these kids are just hyper aggressive, therefore they need to be in special ed. That's killing the root. That's killing the kids early. When they get to adulthood, they're already dead, and they can no longer grow, and they become part of the system. And, you know, if we can get in there and protect the kids at an early age, then, you know, the goal is to see that prosper as they mature into that strong tree, you know, 50, 60 years later, and pass those seeds back into the ground and, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. And, you know, that's what we, you know, what we have to do. And that's why, you know, I love working with, you know, all of you young cats, man, because I think, you know, for me, it's important to kind of help nurture and bring that on, you know, as best I can. That's why I've enjoyed my 5 years at Fort Valley, because I felt like I've been told that I've helped, you know, kids, that were going through life, that would sit in my office and just talk for an hour or 2 hours and shit like that. You know, so yeah, I think all that stuff, you know, is meaningful. And I think that everybody should, and you guys should, and will, I believe, when you guys, you know, get to our age. But clarity for me, and I think comfort will come, you know, towards the end.
Much like Ken, like, I feel like they go hand in hand for me personally, or whatever. Like, my comfort comes from my clarity type of thing. Like, I don't like being comfortable for too long, because I don't mind working hard, you know what I'm saying? But she had to stop me all the time, like, yo, calm down, chill out, and enjoy, you know, what you've accomplished or whatever. So, you know, I'm good with a weekend, you know what I'm saying, and get right back to work. That's just how I am. So, I just constantly try to make better for others, and then my comfort is in that, you know what I'm saying? Even here, seeing my team, seeing Dead End Hip Hop grow and become, and it brings me comfort, you know what I'm saying? Because I work so hard to try to, you know, make a better situation for everyone, you know what I'm saying? And just try to improve on things. So that makes me comfortable. I feel good, like, you know, when they like, oh man, Rod, I like when you did that. My love language is words of affirmation, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I get stuff like that, it just pushes me forward. You know, I see fans say certain things. That clarity is like everything to me, you know what I'm saying? And it makes me, you know, comfortable for in that moment.
You know, is that the fruit of the labor for you? Kinda, yeah, the definitely. Validation itself? Okay.
Definitely, man. Definitely. That is the fruit of the labor. Like, I don't need millions, anything. It's just like when people enjoy something, I made somebody move a certain way and feel a certain thing and feel happy. Like, we get comments like, dude, like, yo, man, my mother's in the hospital, but, you know, listening to y'all podcast or whatever, like, bro, that's clarity for me. And that makes me want to push even harder. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think I do look for that a lot.
For a fact, I know y'all provide that to people, because in a world where we are so mm-hmm. preoccupied and shown things that are trying to make us either placate the past or just fearmonger about the future or have anxiety about the future, y'all get people present. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all bring people present.
Yeah.
With content, like with your stories, with your lived experiences, y'all actually bring people to the present.
Word.
And I think that within itself, y'all administer clarity to people just by living and giving this content and by just sharing your knowledge and sharing all these resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is ultimately, if that's not youth, I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Like, I was listening to what you were saying, and I get what you're saying a lot, because mm-hmm. I mean, I've said before that a lot of the reason why I do my separate channel aside from this
mm-hmm.
is because, I mean, when I was a weirdo black kid in high school, I didn't have anybody to lean on.
Right.
There were no other people like me in Conyers, Georgia.
Right.
So I do enjoy when people would hit me up and say, yeah, there's no black kids who like this, and this. And mm-hmm. I think it's dope that I can look to this channel and be like, man, there's this guy. He's old. He made it through. Right. Yeah, that shit makes me happy. But at the same time, I just feel like the reason I would more so lean towards comfort mm-hmm. is because, you know, when I was 17, this sounds crazy, but this is true. Me and my friends really thought that our 10 years was going to be the last 10 years of racism, sexism, homophobia, all this. We really thought we were going to change the fucking world.
Mm-hmm. Not crazy to me.
I just always related back to episode 3 when Yoda's fighting Palpatine. And we all know he's going to lose.
Right.
But seeing him lose and the look of disappointment on his face when he climbs in, he's just like, going to hiding, I must go. You know what I'm saying? That's how we felt when it was like, we're not going to fix this. But we spent, like, literally, I put in so much emotional labor and physical labor, going out and doing protests, going out and arguing with the Klan, going out and leafleting, going out and doing all this shit. This is before email. Y'all, that's how old I am.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to write letters
right.
to politicians
mm-hmm.
and, you know, trying to get them to change these laws. Wait, mm-hmm. I spent decades doing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now at 40 plus, I'm not going to say exactly, but 40 plus, I'm just like, man, I'm fucking tired. Mm-hmm. I don't need the clarity anymore because I think I'm just jaded.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, we literally thought, like, we used to go around saying this shit. We're going to, yeah, we're going to fix, we're going to change this. We failed.
You think you failed?
I know I failed. Like, we dumbass punk kids thought, us with our fucking green hair and our ill-fitting clothing, we thought going out on these fucking sidewalks every day or every weekend and holding signs, we thought that was going to make sure that nothing like what's happening today happened. And now we have, and I'll say this, we have a literal fascist in the fucking White House
mm-hmm.
that if he wins again, we may as well get comfortable with actual, not metaphorical fascism. We may as well get comfortable with actual fascism. We thought that what we were doing was going to make sure that this didn't happen. And it wasn't like it was just in Georgia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was just in the United States. This was a worldwide thing where people were doing this, and it did nothing.
I feel like some of the things you fought for back then and you still fight for now are changing, though.
Mm.
Like, you know, so that's something to be said, that you stood your ground on that. And then today, like, even people like me, right, you know, that use, you know, the F word loosely or whatever, like, I can't even fathom saying it like that anymore. But once upon a time I did, whereas you never did, you know what I'm saying, because you always been fighting against that. Because you saw, I guess, clearly than I did as far as those issues are concerned. So I've always appreciated you standing your ground on certain issues that I just didn't always understand. Mm-hmm. So I think...
Appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real talk, like if it wasn't for you, I probably would still be... I would like to think I wouldn't be, but mm-hmm. I think you've pushed that forward a little faster for me.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About certain issues. Now, you know, when it comes to race in this country, you know, that's a bigger fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, some of the things.
The little wins.
Yeah, you've gotten some little wins.
Man. We I'm really telling you, wanted those big wins.
I feel you, from personal experience, I've been affected by
being your friend for the last decade or whatever. So, likewise. So, you know what I'm saying?
Because it's like, it's not just about like, first of all, struggle always going to continue until it stops. And I think that it sets in when you're just another generation. Mm-hmm. I think I'm dealing with that every day. Like, am I just another generation? Yeah. I really might just be another generation. We might have been able to stop this, quote unquote. But I think about how every generation has a mission. This is what Frantz Fanon mm-hmm. said, where every generation has a mission. It's up to that generation to obey the call or deny it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you obeyed the call. You heard the call, mm-hmm. and you responded. Now you might be like, oh, well, who gives a fuck? But you might not have changed the world, but you definitely changed worlds.
Yeah,
and absolutely. you got to hold that power within itself, where it's like, I may have saved a black trans woman's life. I may not have saved all of them.
Yeah.
But I may have saved this black trans woman's life, this black trans man, this black non-binary person, this mm-hmm. black punk kid who maybe won't get bullied because somebody watched a video of mine. Mm-hmm. Maybe this kid didn't, you know, die by suicide because he watched a video of mine. And it's right. not about some, oh, I feel great about myself and I'm, you know, saving the world. It's not about that. It's about what is the imprint I left on another being. Mm-hmm. And I think that we sell ourselves short when we think about these totalistic goals yeah. of if it's not 100%, then it wasn't worth anything. And it's like, bro, look at the little kid who says, yo, Mike showed me how to be myself. Mm-hmm. Or, yo, I really want to be a videographer now because of what Rod did with Dead End. Or I want to review hip hop now because of y'all. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to play, you know what I'm saying, video games because B showed me that it's cool to be a black gamer nerd. It's really cool to do that. You know what I'm saying? And these may not be like the totalistic, like world shifting wins, but when you understand that you did leave an imprint in this world and with people that you don't even know, people who don't even speak the same language as
man,
that's
yes.
power.
That's something.
I got some guy, I don't know, where was he?
He was Korea or something.
Korea or something hit me up, man. Like, no way we live the same lives.
Right.
But he identified with some of the things that I see on this show or other shows or what I do. Mm-hmm. And man, it was just moving, man. I was just like, wow, this is amazing, mm-hmm. man. I'm not just talking. I have these conversations with my wife. She's here to tell you guys, mm-hmm. like, I really be like, yo, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
know,
that's yeah. literally with, yo, this is crazy.
To kind of go off what Q was saying, Mike, is that there's 10 years now worth of your words out there that will live on.
Yeah, being
that
a people, dick.
Oh man!
Y'all should have smacked me at some
point. But think about all. No. But not necessarily that. Think about all of the things that you've said on Is the Mic Still On? Mm-hmm. The millions, literally millions of voices and ears that you've reached. Like, you know, that beginning was to get to now, and so you are still making those impacts, and you're reaching, you know, probably more people now than you were back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell my wife all the time, man, like, I don't think the guys really realize how, like, brilliant and talented and creative they are. Mm-hmm. And it just amazed me at times when I just sit back and kind of marvel at what you guys do, mm-hmm. you know, and how you guys are just specialists in your areas, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, I was like, man, Rod's creativity and the way he sees things and the way he's able to pull out certain conversations, mm-hmm. you know, Mike's analytical, you know, high thinking mind, you know, and his champion for justice in you know, in this world, you know, from B's love and the way he's able to break down video games and to keep things present and bubbly, FIFO when it comes to sports mm-hmm. and stuff like that, even all the way down to low mid and listen to what they're doing and seeing how creative and that they are with these different ideas that they be coming up with. It just seemed like it's just so natural and gifted. And just meeting this brother at 17 and him just speaking the word and his brilliant mind and how educated he is and how he thinks on the high prior. And I'm talking about Q, you know, it's just on and off of Sophie, just seeing her grow from 18 to where she are now, just to be able to witness that, you know, seeing like that evolution and to be at the center of that, you know, it's just really, you know, such a blessing, you know, mm-hmm. for me, man, and I consider myself blessed, and to be able to take all of this that's around and to be able to put that out. And I forgot about my brother Nick, who got a new mask. Like,
he's waiting.
You know, even his mind, because he's here because he is brilliant and creative as well. Like, you know, it's just in the past. Mm-hmm. Think about these voices, these thoughts, these ideas. Nobody would be able to see it. Mm-hmm. Nobody would be able to see this. It would be muffled. It's mm-hmm. almost like hip hop.
Yeah.
Mm. When you see how all these creative talents that's just stuck in this world that white supremacy or the nation has oppressed,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get out, and they found a way to get out, and technology has allowed this to get out. Because mm-hmm. if not, we, you know, nobody would hear us or see us. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and because the system control what Hollywood gets access to mm-hmm. and who gets to make it, like you were talking about, and now we have the ability to put that out, mm-hmm. you know, and speak on that, man. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to go from music to you know, a podcast to frames per second. And shit, I didn't even know that Nate thought the way she did about fucking movies and shit like that. Like, would she be, like, seriously, as long as I've known her, but sometimes I just sit back and just even be more like, God damn. Like, that's really fucking sharp. Like, it's just
I'm smart sometimes.
Like, it just blows my mind, and I'm just thankful, man. I'm just thankful.
Well, let me say one more thing real quick, and I'll be done. So when I said that we failed, mm-hmm. don't take that as me saying that I am giving up and I'm not trying to change anything still. Yeah. When I say that we failed, I'm saying that I didn't feel like we would still have to be doing this work now.
Mm.
Right.
I think it's a whole generation of people who feel that way. Like, even like the elders who sit back and like went through civil rights and are still like, y'all are still dealing with the same stuff we had to deal mm-hmm. with. Like, it's generations of people who feel the same way.
But I think, yeah, definitely. But I think, like I said, when we were literally traveling across the United States screaming about this shit,
mm-hmm.
to still be dealing with it at 40, yeah. it's just like, come the fuck on.
I feel that.
But that's, I didn't want anybody to get that misconstrued and think I'm saying, mm-hmm. well, don't fucking bother, mm-hmm. just give up. Like one of Charles Bukowski's famous quotes, just give up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying that I didn't think that we would still be doing, I mean, even if I want to go back to the analogy, yeah, Yoda lost, but it's not like he didn't train Luke when Luke showed up on Dagobah.
Mm.
He's like, I still see that we can fix this, so let's let's give it a shot. And he even had the spirits telling him, I don't know, bro, he's too old. He's like, nah, man, I think I can do this. Chill out. I think I can do. So, I mean, yeah, I'm still making videos. I'm still screaming about the same shit. But that's why I'm just trying to get comfort, because I have been fighting for clarity for 25 years, and I haven't gotten it.
Mm.
So now it's just like, all right.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. Yeah. I'm not going to figure this shit out, but I can still at least tell people to keep trying to change it.
I feel that.
So that's really what I'm getting at. I'm just fucking tired, bro. I'm tired.
And that's fair.
And
that's very fair.
Yeah, and that's how change happened. You talk about generations. I think I think we're just a bridge to you guys. Because, you know, these old people got to die out. And, you know, but what's going to happen with the...
Try to kill motherfuckers.
I know, right?
Hey,
it's your time, bro.
But, yeah. What's going to happen with the youth? And you guys are energized and motivated. And, I'd hope that it could change with you guys. But we'll leave it there.
Damn, man. Sorry.
I'm saying.
You took BZ spot.
Y'all talking about that's good,
because B didn't have a topic, so that worked. And you didn't either.
Yeah.
It's basically both our topics.
We'll be back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Q, did you have anything, man?
Did
you want to discuss?
Did y'all talk about Tory dropping his album?
No.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Let's we talk need about to,
it.
Yes.
We need to talk about we accountability in hip hop.
Act like we did. Don't get us no energy.
Y'all. I think that we should. We shouldn't name it. We shouldn't name it, but I think we should talk about accountability in hip hop.
What do you mean by not naming it?
We don't. We don't have to speak on who shall not be named who dropped an album, but we can, but
everyone knows who we're talking.
Yeah, right. So you know, Tory dropped.
Don't let him get away with it like that. That's the easy way out. Yeah.
And, you know, Tory dropped his album of just complete misogyny and just you know, victim blaming. And it was 17 tracks. 17 tracks. And this is coming off of the back of Megan Thee Stallion being allegedly, I have to say this for legal purposes, but we all know what happened. In my opinion, we can see that Tory Lanez discharged a firearm at a black woman. And the day after Breonna Taylor's killers were not convicted, he decides to drop a 17-track album explaining why he shot a black woman.
So he does say he did it.
He says on the thing that it's not what y'all thinking, it's not what it seems, and I'm gonna throw shots at J.R. Smith, and I'm gonna throw shots at Dream Doll, and all these people who were talking bad about me, and y'all don't know the real story. He never says it didn't happen, but we're supposed to allude from that.
Was this the live stream that he said he was gonna be doing at like 12 o'clock or something like
that? I'm not turning up to midnight.
It was like 9 p.m. He was
9 p.m. on the East Coast.
Not
the
East Coast, but on the West Coast. And then
I'm not staying up to watch you talk.
Absolutely not. And I think like the deeper issue here is that, yes, harm was done. But I think that there needs to be a deeper conversation of where are the institutions beyond the carceral state that we within our own community, within our own cultural production, can begin to hold men accountable for the whole people accountable, but hold particularly the black men who have the access, the resources, the capital, the backing, the gatekeeping, or the okays from the gatekeepers. Where is there? Wake him up. Where is the accountability for that? Where are the processes for that? Where are the elder statesmen? Because we see T.I. came out and ran basically cover for him.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And wait, what?
T.I. was like, he said it didn't go down the way y'all think it did.
Typical industry stuff of when you're trying to get ahead of a story and you're trying to frame a narrative, you bring out people who have clout or credibility. So I guess they must have thought, let's get T.I. because he has a podcast and let's have him say, well, you know, expeditiously, I don't think that he actually did that to, from what he told me, he said it didn't go down like that. So just putting that out in the air is trying to cause some sort of diffusion of the situation so we can have let's hear both sides now. That's the whole purpose of saying a statement like
both
that.
Sides.
Yes, both sides.
Both sides.
So it's like, my question is, man, like, at what point do we begin to hold artists accountable?
I think it starts now. And I want people to be more vocal and holding, you know, the black hip hop figures that has access to them accountable, along with everyone else that has a voice that feels like they should speak on it. Too often this as people have gotten a pass from, you know, we could look at Dr. Dre, to Joe Budden, on and on. And now we got
Rap.
Yeah, Gucci Rap. I don't think I knew about Gucci Rap.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. He beat up he didn't beat up Superhead. Who did he beat up? Did he beat up Superhead?
I
think it was Superhead.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Corinne Steffens.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that her name?
Yeah, that's her name.
Shout out Corinne.
To now Megan, man, and the way that people talk now, I think you can't we can't rail at one system and ignore the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're railing at racism that keep killing us, but you ignore this man that shot this woman. What?
I don't know about that one, man.
Why?
Because it sounds like a whataboutism, and I think that's a slippery slope. Those are two different things. So, yeah, there is a system put in place that keeps women oppressed, that allows men to do terrible things to them, but I don't think that system should be compared with the system that puts white people in power where they can kill us. I think those are two completely different systems. I don't think they should be compared. And I know you weren't intentionally doing that, but I know Reddit, and I know how they twist my shit. They will twist your shit.
Different but similar, right?
Sort of.
They're within the like.
They're. I just don't like making one-to-one comparisons with different systems of oppression. I'm not trying to play the oppression Olympics either, but I don't think it's a good idea to say, well, you guys are out here complaining about the white supremacist police killing black people, but why aren't you talking about this? Well, I don't think that's a good idea, because that sounds like white people when they say, well, what about black on black crime?
Yeah.
Even though it really isn't a system.
I think it's a con. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, please.
No, you said it is a system. It's patriarchy at the end of the day. And it's just internal in our own community.
It is, but it's not the same as the system of white supremacy. And I don't think it's a good idea to make one-to-one comparisons about systems like that.
I think that.
That's all I'm saying.
I think that the experiences of black women have to be clarified here, that it is special.
Yes.
It is a very special understanding. Now, black women experience gendered violence that is inherently racialized, because while Tory Lanez allegedly shot, and I had to say that, but shot this black woman, people will say that, oh, well, that's different. I think that people on Reddit, if they say it's different, I could get that if they're being reductive, because to me, they are not one and the same, but they are the same monster in the sense that patriarchy predates white supremacy, but the special factors in which we engage black women's bodies, how we engage black women in terms of their labor, how we engage black women in terms of beauty, it's racialized. Okay, so it has to be informed by white supremacy is what I'm saying.
But here's why I think it's different. When you're talking about something like patriarchy, that can be a little bit more easily generalized than white supremacy. White supremacy really only affects certain groups, whereas patriarchy, you can't say the same thing. Patriarchy kind of goes across the board. So when you're talking about a situation like Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez, yes, that is a situation of patriarchy among the black community. But there's also patriarchy that can apply to the white community. But when you make those comparisons to white supremacy, like, white supremacy really doesn't affect white people in the same way it affects any other groups of color.
I do like the idea of extracting it out and making it its own separate issue. Like, I think you may have mentioned that, and the thought crossed my mind, instead of just kind of attaching it to this, giving it its own focus.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that was a good point. So that way, you know, they don't get intermingled together.
And I don't think you have to be reductive to separate it out. I know what you're saying, but I don't think you have to be reductive to say, well, this is its own conversation, and let's not conflate it with this. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times what's going to happen is you're going to go to, what's the bigger point? What's the bigger problem? And then this one gets left to the wayside.
Well, I don't even think I disagree with that. I think that more so my perspective would come from the fact that I would say that Tory Lanez was policing. That's what I would say. I would say that patriarchy within itself is policing.
Sure.
And I would say that the ways in which black men, a certain black men, segments of black men, not so insignificant segments of black men, are socialized. I want to say that word again, socialized. Socialized to interact with black women in certain ways. It is from the manner of policing your sexuality, policing your body, policing your labor, policing your beauty, policing your hair. So to literally fire a firearm at a black woman, I can see that one-to-one contradiction of somebody saying, we have to talk about Breonna Taylor, but I don't believe Megan, though. Now, I'm not saying that that means that the issue within itself is of the same weight. But what I'm saying is that if you are going to address violence against a black woman, then you should have the same standard of I'm going to believe the story from jump, and if I'm proven wrong, I'm just proven wrong. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm coming with from it, you know.
Imagine if they talked about this not even on the same level, even a fraction lower than Breonna Taylor. Imagine what that would do to Tory.
A fraction? What do you mean?
Just even not like 100% on the same level. Like, you see Breonna Taylor everywhere.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm.
But even if you did it at half the amount that they talk about Breonna Taylor and talked about Megan Thee Stallion, like LeBron and the NBA or whatever. Right. Like, even just on a happenstance, not a happenstance, but just say that, hey man, that's messed up what Tory Lanez did to Meg Thee Stallion.
But see, that's my point. Right. I don't think you should be engaging and entertaining those kinds of conversations. Like,
that's also true.
We're talking about Breonna Taylor, but imagine if you guys did this. And it's like, well, why can't we just have two conversations here? Mm. Why do we have to compare this conversation to this conversation?
Because because I think the visibility is lacking. And I understand that is two conversations, but I guess when I look at like the amount of coverage and the impact, well, somewhat impact, because the dude didn't even really get charged.
Right.
That's having, I can only imagine the impact it would also have where if it's hypothetical, if that did take place, would he be dropping a 17 track album right now?
No, he'd be in jail.
Exactly.
But then what's going to happen is, cause I'm almost tempted to do it and I don't want to, but what's going to happen is you're going to start discussing how one situation is bigger than the other. Mm-hmm. How one situation is more important than the other because one situation affects more people than the other. And I don't think that's a healthy way to discuss this situation.
I agree with that, and I'm not trying to do that.
I know you're not.
But I know. But
that's how it's going to end up looking.
What do you think that is that makes people not see it as companions but competitors?
I just think that when you, because what you're doing is you're putting people on the defensive. Because if you have someone that's been screaming about Breonna Taylor, say her name, mm-hmm. and then you come up behind them and you say, okay, well, how about you say Megan Thee Stallion's name? A lot of times, instead of them saying, oh, shit, I see your point, they're going to say,
not the same.
Huh?
They're going to say it's not the same.
They're going to, well, no. What, even if they do end up thinking it's the same, from an activist standpoint, mm-hmm. they're going to say, well, you're challenging my activism and you're saying that I don't care about this. Mm-hmm. And therefore, now I have to explain why I've been screaming, say her name about Breonna Taylor, but not about Megan.
But aren't we sort of doing that now? Like, we're asking, where are the black male voices in hip hop? Why are they not speaking about that?
But we're not relating that to Breonna Taylor. That's the only part that I'm throwing a little monkey wrench in. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's super, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that comparing those situations is really a good idea. I think it's better to just say, look, what he did was fucked up. This is a product of a system that's been put in place that we've been benefiting from for way too long, mm-hmm. that we have to start dismantling. By the way, there's also this mm-hmm. that we can be talking about mm-hmm. as well. But mm-hmm. putting it as, well, you're talking about this, so therefore you should also be talking about this. And if you're not, then something's wrong. I think a lot of people, if I heard that, I'd be like, damn, you're fucking right.
Mm-hmm.
But some people will just be like, what? What are you talking about? Right. No, this is way more important.
Right.
And then the argument becomes, okay, who's more important, Megan or Breonna? And it's like, are we really doing this?
Well, I don't think that people should, by the way, not be out here saying, like, say Megan's name. First of all, Megan was not murdered.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not
but
a...
See,
it's,
but see, you're doing it. Not intentionally, but you're doing it.
But here's the thing, though, is that we have to begin to, I think, understand that perhaps the same system that is feeding the Breonna Taylors to the police mm-hmm. is the same system that will throw away a Megan Thee Stallion.
And Megan could have been murdered, though.
And could have been.
So, you know...
She wasn't.
But look,
the conversation is going. And I think I should shut up. But
well,
I'm just saying.
No, I think it's a really interesting place to go to.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just an advocate lately of same energy.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
and I guess maybe I should have said that. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, where's that same energy for Megan?
I feel you.
That these guys, are not showing that I would like to see. Mm-hmm. Or where's that accountability? I think it's just about accountability. Like, what are you guys
because they see misogyny as different than racism. They're not as infuriated with the misogyny as they are with racism. That's really all it is.
So real quick, so
misogyny is the point.
Say that one more time.
No, just go ahead.
Okay.
Don't forget.
I will forget nowadays. Damn, I was almost about
God
to
damn it, Rod.
Just say it, baby. Just say it.
I'm trying.
Give him a second. Give him a second. Give him a second.
Give me a second. Okay. All right. So it's not on the same, like, this Megan thing isn't on the same level as Brianna, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Well, I'm saying let's not make that comparison.
Okay, I know you're saying that.
You almost
I know,
got me too.
He said,
"Yeah, wait." Right.
Almost got
but,
me.
So, but there is a good portion of people that are against what Tory Lanez did. Like, I see a lot.
Sure.
I know sometimes I see different things than y'all, like online. I don't know if it's.
Your like, algorithm is just way different.
Yeah, I do. I do, right? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I mean, maybe it's your universe. So I see a lot of like cancellation of Tory Lanez. Yeah, like, man, I'm not listening to this album. Are you crazy? I've even heard it like on XM radio, them talking about we're not playing that or whatever. Yeah. Like, so I have been seeing a lot of it. So I'm just trying to figure out, when you ask, the accountability part. So you feel like there isn't any accountability right now?
I feel like it's shallow. I really do. I feel like it's performative. I feel like a lot of it is just about trying to consumer face, where it's like, all right, well, there's the Breonna Taylor industrial complex now, where everyone has a documentary, everybody has a conference, everyone has a tech thing, everyone has a t-shirt that's on, and it's really disgusting in my opinion. But that has been taken to like the umpteenth degree, where I feel as though now we are seeing more so the centering of, we're not going to show this on our platform anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, those logics can be seen as like, oh wow, they're taking a stand against misogyny, you're taking a stand against, but all the other rappers you have on, you haven't taken a stand against 6ix9ine, you're still playing Chris Brown, and it's like and all these people in the industry who have allegations against them, you're not saying nothing.
Sounds like something that's going to get blown over at the
blown
time.
Blown over. Exactly. Okay. And like, I just want a better accountability process. Mm-hmm. I want us to be able to have the ability as consumers or as fans to truly divest from artists, not just for, you know, you're kicked off the island now, but I want people to generally, depending on what you've done, like, you know, children, like child molestation, a bard, you know what I'm saying? Not talking about that stuff like that. To me, that's off the table, but things that I believe are worthy of transformation, things that I believe are worthy of restoration.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. And I'm sorry. I'm just keep questioning you, but, so what does, and I know you don't have all the answers, but like, what does accountability look like to you for Tory Lanez in this situation?
To me, accountability is like an actual, like, somebody has to mediate a complete like reconciliation and grievances. Where if you saw while the process, if you were alive during South Africa, I was not, but I researched it extensively. There was truth and reconciliations.
Apartheid.
Okay. And while those truth and reconciliations were a complete farce in the end, the concept of coming to the table to say, this is what we have done to you, this is what we are willing to reparate or whatever it's called, and this is what we are willing to apologize and put it on complete front street for. If Tory Lanez was to sit down, or if any whoever wrongdoer that we all just said that's out of pocket, that has to be atoned for, I think that there has to be a mediator who sits down, and that is, and the grievances are put out there. And I think that if the artist is in a monetary position, there should be some funds allocated to something of actual material weight that is going to shift something for somebody. And that's why I said, to me, putting Chris Brown on community service for 6 months did nothing. It just made him angrier. And then what did he do? He went right back to stalking girlfriends and doing all this and that. But if we actually sat Chris Brown's ass down as a community and said, yo, dude, that was the most horrendous shit I've ever seen in my life. And we will not tolerate that in this community. We will not tolerate this. And you have all these millions, and you know what? We're going to take some of this. We're going to sit down, and we're going to give this to, whether it's a fund or whether it is a charity or whether it is you know, some type of center for women who are experiencing domestic violence. I want you to sit down with these women, tell them what you have done. Mm-hmm. I want you to sit down in front of our community, tell us what you have done, and this is how we're going to move after this.
And then you need to be an advocate for this not happening to other people.
Exactly.
You need to speak to other people and have, you know, try to help them learn mm-hmm. to control their anger and not beat the shit out their women. Mm-hmm.
You have to live your transformation. It can't just be aesthetic. It can't just be, oh, well, I did it and it's done.
Right.
No, it has to be, yo, I did that and that changed my life forever.
And I want to try to change yours through that.
I have a question. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And while we should do that for these types of high profile situations, if we're not even doing that in our own personal communities,
mm-hmm.
why are we expecting celebrities to do that? Your own uncles and fathers don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was going to be a question I had. I thought that was something that used to occur.
Yep.
In the neighborhoods back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Used to
get pranced around. Does it anymore?
But the whole, well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a bit easier when we're directly monetarily supporting these people. It's easier to demand that shit from them than for us to go to your house and say, I want your uncle to go do X, Y, and Z.
Wait, so we're saying it's easier for us to demand from people who we buy albums from than it is from our own individual family members? Like, it's easier for me to say that to somebody in my house?
It's easier for me to, if I'm buying a Chris Brown album, it's easier for me to say, I'm going to pull my money from you
mm-hmm.
and never support you again unless you start to actively demonstrate why you've changed. It's easier for me to do that than to go to your house because your uncle is a rapist mm-hmm. and say, I demand that you go do X, Y, and Z with your uncle. If it's my uncle, absolutely,
that's
I can
point.
Drag
but
his
that's
ass
my
out.
Point. We're not doing that with our own family members. We're not holding our own
well,
people accountable.
We should.
Right, and mm-hmm. I agree, we should. Yeah, but if we're not even doing it at that base level, how can we expect to do it at a celebrity
so
level?
Because we should be doing both. We should be doing both. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, and that's another one of those things where it's like, because this happened on Reddit this past show, where if you say this one thing, people interpret that as you saying, well, you don't care about this one.
Right,
thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was saying we're only attacking right. this section.
Right. Yeah.
I would, got to speak for yeah. you, I would put $1 million down and
absolutely
say,
not.
I put all of Jay-Z's billions down.
Absolutely
and
not.
Say that Q would
not just a quarter of
all of them.
Absolutely
and
not.
Say Q would definitely push for that happening in individual communities as well.
Absolutely.
It's just we weren't talking about that specifically.
Right. Yeah, I guess what the
so you're right.
The point I'm trying to get at is it's difficult for us to have that sort of mentality as a collective when we're talking about celebrities, especially celebrities that our community idolize,
mm-hmm.
when we're not even doing that or have that mentality in our own homes.
Which is probably
so I think
go ahead.
So I think it's more about changing the mentality of, we have to change our mentality. We have to hold men accountable no matter where they are. And
absolutely.
We don't do that as a community.
But again, mm-hmm. I think it's implied that
mm-hmm.
Q would say, and I would say that yes,
yeah, yeah,
we have
yeah.
to start at the ground
sure.
level as well.
Always starts at home.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah,
that's,
all that shit starts at home.
And maybe that's why we're seeing the failures of those that are in hip hop that are not saying anything. You know, they, because they're in a position that hip hop is their community
mm-hmm.
and they're in a position to police that community in a positive way.
And that's why it's easier to organize against them because you have voices from all over the world that you can organize and say, hey, we have to, you know, put focus on this one person. Where if it's just my uncle, who do I have on my side? You know what I'm saying? I have other maybe like-minded family members.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an entire community that I can go and get to rally against this person.
Because like celebrities at a certain point, they're beholden to advertisement. They're beholden
right.
to their endorsements. They're beholden to public image. Mm-hmm. So all it took was a hashtag surviving R. Kelly to get him in jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm a prison abolitionist, so that's just, you know, it's just me. But, I believe in full transformation within our own communities because that's the only way we've ever gotten justice. I don't believe that just because we lock up one person who did something wrong,
right.
then that's going to change the problem. All we're
right.
doing is disappearing people and breaking apart families and putting people into a new slave system. But in my opinion, we have to recognize that we all do harm.
Mm-hmm.
We all harm and we all have been harmer. And I think that once we begin to understand how the conditions of society facilitate so much of this harm that we don't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are wearing harm.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
We are wearing harm and we just walk around like I got gold on my neck. I don't know where this shit came from. Like, I don't know. But it's like, this is the harm that we all don't even see. So I imagine the harm that we as black men do to black women every day without even noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean if we have to begin to develop a psychology of community. I think that has to start at home, like mm-hmm. you're saying, because it's going to bubble out into the community. Mm-hmm. It used to be in the 60s and 70s. No, that's Lil River, that's Lil Jimmy. And if he broke that window, I know his mama.
Yep.
And he's going to come over here after school and fix this window.
Yep.
And then after that, you know, I'm going to tell him, son, you can do anything you want to be in this world. Mm-hmm. And then he going to go out and into the world and be whatsoever. Or if I see a police officer harassing grandma, I'm going to come out the house. No, that's my baby. It's not even her baby. It's not even her child.
That's happened to me.
That's my baby.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
It's happened to me, and like I feel like I'm the last generation to really be outside for real. So it's like just seeing what kids do now. It's like everything is inside, but that shows how I think we have to begin to develop, like you're saying, that mentality, but that psychology and those functions of we all got to raise these kids, and we all got to begin to see that we are connected, and that these violences that we experience are connected, and it's only going to take restoration that's connected for us to stop it.
Yeah.
And you would think after doing the live, after putting out a 17-track album, that somebody would be like, all right, nigga, now you're going too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man. Like,
now you're monetarily benefiting from shooting a black woman in the feet.
We kind of let you skate by last time, but now you're trying to profit off of it. Yeah. Now you're just kind of throwing it in our face, rubbing it in our face. Like, nah, man, we need to talk. Somebody needs to talk to you.
Who is that person, though? That's what I'm trying to get to the book.
To your credit, Hove is behind the scenes right now. I stay up on everything. Hove is behind the scenes right now because Megan is signed to Rock Management.
Right.
He's behind the scenes right now saying Tory's done. He's never putting another show out. He's never going to be on a commercial. That's done. Mm. Now that could just be because Megan is signed to Jay, been making money off it. But at the end of the day,
it's still benefiting.
He's still something that I agree with, and it's just like, yo, that's good.
They kind of did that with Chris Brown.
They did that with Chris Brown. Yeah,
and no, but
come
I
to
did.
Like different award shows if he was going to be there, like, but for again, sure. because they had the connection with Rihanna.
And yeah, but then,
I still agree.
But
though.
Then Chris Brown was on Nas's album, which wasn't that put out through Def Jam, Untitled.
Yeah.
What label was Untitled put out on?
Untitled was good with the Def Jam.
And wasn't Jay running Def Jam at the time?
Yeah.
Right, let's get this.
I'm just saying,
I was trying to give him the
props. I'm tired of people picking on Jay-Z, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
we doing it to ourselves.
Yo, move on.
Young, like, you know what I mean? Like,
what about Chris Brown? Okay.
Nick matters.
Hey, Mike, what you got, man?
Oh, mine is mad quick. So I don't really have a topic. I was just going to give a slight follow-up to last week's topic, which I'm not going to go into extreme detail, simply because, unlike some people, I'm actually a man of my word, and I told these people that were involved that I was not going to share what we discussed. But following up the discussion we had last week about the quote-unquote scam and the Block and all this other shit, I actually spoke with the people from the Block and got some information. And I also spoke with the people on the other side and got some information. Hmm. And how... So remember I was talking earlier about how I feel like I failed by trying to fix the world? This is another instance of this where... My goal with all of this was to, one, bring awareness, and two, get things fixed. Get these artists happy. And I thought that I could do this if I could get everybody on the phone together, having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some miscommunications and all of that. And I tried, and it just didn't happen.
Oh,
I don't want to get super into details, but it even turned into a situation where... the people that I thought were going to be on my side and have my back start saying I'm a scammer and I'm in on this and that. And I was just like,
damn, are you serious?
Yeah. And this was really like, I had a fucked up week over this shit. I mean, it was terrible because for like a good hour and a half after I got I was like, man, yes, we're about to be here. Like we're about to walk away from this with a positive resolution. And then it was just like, no. That's not going to happen.
See, bro, hey, stay in your comfort zone so you won't get the clarity.
I should have left the clarity alone, B.
Stay in the comfort.
We making connections in here today.
I was so disappointed, though. I really was. Bad. I really thought that I was going to be able to help this situation because I had talked to artists and then I talked to them and I'm like, all right, well, what if we did this? And what if we did this? All right, cool. Let's do it. And then it was just like, nah. I can't broker conversations. So I was just like, why the fuck did I even bother with all of this? Like, why did I even try? So yeah, all of that to say, as bad as it sounds, I'm washing my hands of it. It seems like people are way more interested in drama than they are with getting actual results. And that's not my MO. I really wanted something good to come from this, and it may still, it just may not be with me helping. So it sucks, but that's the situation, man. Sometimes you can't fucking fix everything. But, I will also say this, there's a lot of shit running around about the situation. If somebody says I said something and you didn't see it on my fucking YouTube channel, my Twitter, or my Instagram, then that's some bogus bullshit. Don't listen to it. Holla at me if you really want to, but I really don't even want to talk about it anymore. So that's that.
That's that on that. That's that on that.
That's that on that. Also, oh, I forgot. Also, my channel was hacked.
Oh yeah.
This past week, there are rumors being spread around about who did that. If I didn't say it, do not listen to these rumors. I do have my channel back, and I know for a fact who did it. All right, it was a motherfucker in the Philippines that thought he caught me slipping, and he did. But I got back up. All right, my shit is back. We're good. They did delete some videos, but it's fine. It's whatever. I appreciate the people that were sending me support and saying you helped my get my channel back. Fuck you to YouTube that did absolutely zero to help me. But yes, everything is cool. Everything is copacetic, and yes, that's it.
I'm sorry that happened to you, man.
Yeah, a lot of people were. Oh yeah, because my girl was like, yeah, she's like, now you know what it feels like to be in the center trying to get Democrats and Republicans to fix issues. I'm like, you're right.
All right, so might to be brief, but I want to have a longer conversation later about it. But we need to record some other stuff. So, but yeah, I know I mentioned it last week. I guess kind of a follow up too. So Trump is going to nominate a judge, of course, as we all expected.
Trump is what?
A judge to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Trump, Amy Coney Barrett.
Mm. He already nominated her, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Let's just say it's official. Who
is she? The cult member?
I don't think so.
The one that she's the right wing. Like,
isn't she the one that they based? They based The Handmaid's Tale on some cult she was a part of. Mm-mm. What is her name?
Mm-mm. Amy Coney Barrett.
The Satanist one?
No, she's not a Satanist.
Oh, because
yeah, Amy Coney Barrett.
I just heard a story about that. Some Satanist. She was in The Handmaid's Tale. Police chief. Alabama somewhere.
Okay, I'm gonna look while you're talking and see if I'm bugging.
You know what? I was thinking about this as I consumed a lot of information about this over the past week, and I came to the realization that I'm not necessarily mad with the Republicans because I knew they were going to do this and the hypocrisy and all this other stuff. This is politics 101. This is what they do. Mm. It's the fucking Democrats. Mm. They get on my goddamn motherfucking nerves. Because they knew good and damn well that this was going to happen. But their sense of having this moral code or this thing about this feeling that by them showing hypocrisy, it would somehow change things, that they would get a different result. It just bothers me. Mm-hmm. And that the fact that they act like they just got pushed over with this whole thing, and that they just let it happen. They really, really let McConnell, who is one of the most evil men in the world, do this to them, pulling some ass rule or precedent out of his hat. And then for Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley, I think, to come out and say, oh yeah, I don't support that. And Lindsey Graham literally say, you can use my words against me. Only to come around and say, oh, I changed my mind. That's all he said. I just changed my mind. I don't believe that anymore. Mm-hmm. This is what they do. And you can't do anything about it. And that's the thing. They can't do anything about it. So the only thing they could possibly do, if Biden wins, and that's looking like a long shot now, is to pack the court, which means that they would expand the court from 9 to whatever that number is. But that means that the Republicans, with their evil ways, will come and do the same thing. We all know the Democrats are spineless creatures, and they're not going to do it anyway. So this is why I hate them, because they don't know how to fight fire. They're just not mean-spirited enough. And so it really wasn't about them, because they're just doing what I always thought they were going to do. Like you said in the Dead and Hip Hop video with the scorpion and the frog. This is just par for the course. Mm-hmm. And unless the Democrats mirror that in a way that works and less evil, this is just what we're going to have.
I did fact check myself. And to be fair, guys, I knew she was connected to some weird Catholic cult, which, I mean, all Catholics are cult members, but.
Yes.
She was connected to some weird Catholic cult that had this idea of men being the extreme heads of their household. But her group was actually called the People of Praise. And the group that inspired Handmaid's Tale was, I think, was called the People of Hope. Hold on one second. Yeah, People of Hope. So I see how they got those two things mixed up. She was still part of some weird misogynist Catholic cult. Mm-hmm. So I find it very interesting that once RBG dies, Trump put somebody in there that comes from some extreme right Catholic group that looks at men as superior to women. I don't know if she's still a part of that, because honestly, this is one of those things where I chose comfort over clarity, and I didn't care to look into it. I just assumed she was a trash bag if Trump was pushing for her. Right. So I don't even know if she's still a part of that group, but I know she comes from it. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to clear that up before people facts only me.
I mean, the what are you going to say, Tom? Mm-mm. Okay. The Republicans are transactional, man, and this is a transaction that I was listening to a podcast, The Daily, and he had a conversation with somebody that was an anti-abortion or something. And, you know, this is what they voted for, and he's paying it off. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. So anyway, all right. So that's going to do it for topics this week. We'll be back with coming commentary after this quick break. All right. We're back. So I'll read off a couple of comments here. This is from Ujama4, who said, BZ going off on dude for not wearing a mask is honestly one of the funniest and unexpected things I've heard in a while. LOL. B doesn't go off often, but when he does, it is gold. Yeah, that word.
How crazy.
You said it was People of Praise?
Yeah, her group is People of Praise. The other one's People of Hope. They're all People of Crazy.
P.O.P. Hold it down.
P.O.P. Hold it down. I'm legally blind.
Chief Doomsday wrote, and welcome to Dead in Sports. LOL, been there, King. I just recorded a YouTube video yesterday. Called the show. I was recording a completely different show of mine. I had to go add a visual effect to fix it. After the fact, too much on the plate. Yeah, that was wild. I still can't believe I did that shit. Like, for real.
We all can.
Yep, it's me. Yep, underscore is me again. During the prostate exam story, and Sophie said he used all three fingers. I lost the LMAO. Well, Mike said, just do it and get out my ass. Thanks for making me look crazy at work. There was a lot of great comments. I'm going to try to find one more good one. Oh, J2Good said, yo, I didn't realize how big that rap Ponzi scheme was. My homie got caught up in that. He got a message from the game, but it seemed hella sus to me. We both rap, and my friend was telling me to do it, but I said, fuck no. He ended up just being on a mixtape volume of a bunch of different rappers. I think he got like 500 plays on SoundCloud, but he was pulling more than that on his own. I think he spent $1,000 for it. I figured it was a scam somehow. He said he'll just hold that L, but I didn't realize how big of a deal this was.
Man, I'm telling
you. He got caught up in that.
Really?
Oh, yes, $500 to a rapper in Griselda.
All right, last one. DC Truth Seeker 32. Another really important thing regarding RBG's ultimate untimely death is that if Trump is able to get another Supreme Court justice in before the election, and the election is super close in any state, the Supreme Court ultimately decides which votes are counted, which could impact the winner. Mm-hmm. So.
Are we acting like the 2000 election didn't happen?
I know, which is a right? Yeah, which is
like
a,
why are we acting like this is new? That oh right, right. Whoa, yeah. The president exactly. Might not actually win an election. First of all, do we even know if these ballots are all the way counted through all the time? There's that no way to really true. Know that.
Nah. Once they got enough to certify who they think is going to win, they stop.
And then the Electoral College takes over. Yep. Hey, how much can we pay for him to get in?
So anyway, man, I think I'm gonna leave it there because we got all the stuff we need to do running along, and there are a lot of questions here, but Nick just gave me a look, and so we gotta get out of here.
Huh? He over there typing hard.
Yep. Take my spot, man.
So
he ain't getting once.
So we're gonna leave it there. If Sophie is back, we are going to do the mailbag next week. So some of the questions I hold for then. So Q, appreciate you coming by.
Always, sure, always.
Yep.
Always.
So we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Bye.